If you're listening on podcast, be sure to tune in to our YouTube channel on YouTube at Wild and Weird WV.
Welcome to Wild and Weird Radio, a Wild and Weird West Virginia podcast.
Greetings, greetings, everyone. It is your favorite time of the week. It is the day before the weekend and the day that we like to call Wild and Weird Radio Live Thursday. Yeah, that's it. I just made that up. And I think it's going to stick. I think that's what we're going to call this. It's the, weekend eve, I guess, right? So anyway, everybody, let's get in here and get all your wild and weird friends out there and send them a message. Make sure everybody's, you know, tuned in. And for the rest of the world who is listening on audio, Joe.
Guys, this part of the show is going to be cut for audio. So welcome aboard. We hope that you jump over to Wild and Weird WV over on YouTube. Catch the rest of this show because you're only going to be getting the first hour during the audio portion. So you're definitely going to want to catch up on what you will have missed. Because next week you might open up the show and be like, man, there was a lot covered. I didn't get all of that. I need to go back and look. Well, you can always go back and check the live archives as well as all of our other videos over on YouTube. And if you're not joining us live, what are you doing?
I just wonder.
Because
I
don't know. This is where the cool people are.
I don't want to live in that world. But, right? You know, so, you guys who do, you know, that's. You know, make sure you just come over and join the live.
So as for the folks who are in the world of Wild and Weird right now, we've got Brent. Well, is that you, Brandon, or is that the other Brandon?
I don't know.
Lisa's in the house. Donna Ho, James Nelson. We've got Anita Allen. Look at you on time and early, might I add. Nancy White's in the house. What's going on? Finding the trackway. L.W. Marshall, the weekend finally begins. Cannot put it any better way. Fishbelly, as always, is in the house. We've also got Larry Hose hanging out in the background. Larry actually informed me today that he is also following up on some reports that were given to him this past week. Up in his area. So hopefully we'll have some news back from that next week. We've got Finding the Trackway. I think I already said Finding the Trackway. If I didn't, I just covered you, buddy. Rob Posey, what's going on? Lisa, Octopus with No Friends. You made it at 8:01. Look at you.
Look at you.
Teresa's on History of the Tri-State. Hello. It was good seeing you last night, Teresa. We did a Bigfoot talk at the St. Albans Paranormal discussion group. I had fun with that. It had a great crowd.
Great turnout.
A bunch of people turned out. It was everybody seemed to have a good time. Yeah, and I got to meet this cat LR.
Miller. Right there.
He came out, met him for the first time face-to-face. It was great meeting you. Senor Spookface, Senor. What's going on? Good to have you back in the house again, brother.
Welcome, Signor.
Then we got Estacada Man. Howdy from the Pacific Northwest. So is
Howdy.
Estacada or Estacada? Which one is it? Fill me in. The Bigfoot Littlefoot's in the house. We've got Eyes in the Woods as usual, hanging out. Let's see. Do we got,
there's always Eyes in the Woods
I think always. We got caught up. LW brings a good point here. Getting close to the TNT workshop.
Yes, it is.
We are less than a month away, guys, and it is going to be an absolute ball. You are going to love it.
Yes.
It and
is. There you are.
Adam Good has arrived.
All right, let's make sure Pat's here. Adam, send out a APB there on our missing individuals.
Oh, and guys, don't be alarmed if my camera does anything weird tonight. At my normal mount, that I put my camera up with is in shambles. So it's just kind of chilling right now.
That's awesome.
Senior Spookfest says, seen a video breakdown by a professional on the shadow alien and the people back. Oh, the backyard in Vegas.
Oh, man.
I guess it was something strange that they caught. There's been a lot of people who've analyzed that and nobody's really been able to rip it apart.
I've not seen anything on anything new, I should say, on that.
Yeah, me neither.
Yes.
Lisa says OBC is coming up. Whoop. Absolutely is. That'll be next weekend. Whoop. May the 4th be with you. We're going to be up in Salt Fork State Park in Cambridge, Ohio. You can come check us out. We are going to be rocking the third floor upstairs.
It's going to be a party.
That's our new home there.
It's a party. Might even be a tiki bar. I don't know.
Never know.
Never know.
All right. All right. All right. Well, you guys ready?
All right.
We've got to, we'll go ahead and get this part out of the way too. We're going to get the housekeeping all wrapped up before we get going. Then this show is brought to you guys and kept free by our executive producers, Adam Good, L.W. Marshall, Teresa of Teresa's Haunted History of the Tri-State, Larry Hose, Ada Cox, Nancy White, Scott Holbrook, Lisa, Finding the Trackway, Tommy Swigger, Pat, Small Town Monsters, Eyes in the Woods, James Nelson, and our amazing super chatters out there, Dewey, the Deucer Edwards. Where is Dewey? I'm gonna have to shoot Dewey a message.
Oh, that's I don't know. There.
Spooky right Appalachia. You got Jimothy down there. What? Ron just vanished. Guitar Chains Craig, Travis Erednick, Jeffrey Steele, Russ Bailey, Chris Coots, Bigfoot Littlefoot, Terry Summerfield, Sarah Ramsey, Julie Bug, Donna Ho, Angie Breeden, Jen Clower, Jamie Snail, Ike the Fob Daddy Fobber, Ashley Hilt of On Wednesdays We Talk Weird, and the Beastly Beast Beastie Beast podcast,
oh Beasts of
Stuff About Beasts as well. Go check that one out. And of course, Lotus Flower. Thank you guys for keeping the show free for eons and eons to come.
Everyone, and give themselves a big round of applause because you make the show go.
That's right. And, you know, for those of you guys who are listening over on the podcast side that have never jumped on the live with us, those folks donate to the show to keep this show completely free, i.e. we don't run a Patreon. We don't have one of those little gimme things like give me a coffee or buy me a sandwich or something like that. This is all maintained and kept up by those folks that we just rattled off. Not only that, but they also help us provide workshops. Yep. At minimal fees and minimal costs. Some of the workshops that are put on out there, you're going to see prices upwards of $300 to $600, depending on what the workshop is and where it's at. Whereas ours remain affordable, thanks to the folks here that you see listening and all those guys that we just rattled off there. Hey, Ike is in the room now. What's going on, boss man? Absolutely.
And, you know, that's an awesome thing. And absolutely can't say that. I think we have the best community out there. I'll be honest with you.
We really
In my opinion, we do. It's not just a bunch of, you know, fans who, cause fans can turn on you just like that. This is more like a family. If we have disagreements, we move on from it. We're here next week laughing about something else. So, and that's how I like it. So it works really, really well. And I love it. So if you are a part of that family, well, thank you so much for making it free for everybody. And as Joe said, you know, if you're going to buy us this coffee or a sandwich, then you buy it and you bring it to a show that we're at.
Yes.
A real one, not a fake one, but a real one.
If you want to do that, we've had folks do that too. And it's been fantastic because there's a lot of the times we'll be at these shows and like, we don't get away from the booth, especially if it's a really busy event. Like,
I remember that time Teresa saved our lives.
I was going to say, Teresa came down and gave you guys some life support there right before we went on the stage at Mothman Festival.
That's right. Sure did.
I just want to say, I'm a big fan of like No Bake Fudge. So if you want to bring that.
Yeah. Well, Brandon probably won't be there anyway, so we'll just eat it. So go ahead and bring it. It's all good. We're not going to save it for him. That's what I'm saying. But if you want to support the show in any other way, I know that this week our T-shirt provider over there, TeePublic, there's a sale. And so you can get some of our designs over there and have them shipped straight away to yourselves. So go over there and have a look at that. You'll find that link over on our website. So, guys, tonight the subject is it's pretty much about this soft disclosure, right? Because think about this. This is how the show goes, by the way, the people who are listening on the radio, on the actual podcast. This is not your typical Wild and Weird radio show. This is not what you expected. Okay. I'm just going to tell you that right now. We're going to try to stay a little bit on topic, but this is these folks' show. So yeah. If they want to go somewhere, we're going to go with them. Okay. That's just how this works until we can get our, podcast back up and running. But right now we're just too busy for that.
There's so many things. The cogs are spinning at a million miles an hour and all the sweatshops are running like crazy. Yeah,
so. It's all going to be worth it. It's all good. So, let's talk a little bit about what is going on right now, because there's a lot going on right now. It's just that the main media is not picking up on it. Thank you,
Ada Cox. Thank you.
Oh,
coming in hot, but breaking the ice for everybody tonight. Thank you, Ada. You are amazing.
Send them a salute.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Big thanks. A massive thank you.
And one of our favorite humans there.
Everybody else is out there thanking too. So that's awesome. So I got a question. How many of you guys are aware that this week we really did get a confirmation that this Kona Blue thing actually did happen? We talked about that last week, right?
Yeah, we touched it last week, but there's been a whole lot more come out.
Oh, yeah. And that's the crash retrieval stuff, right? So, which is the same thing that Grush has been saying since last year, by the way, and began, taking down every time.
And what our old buddy Elizondo was saying years ago.
That's absolutely right. 100%. Well, here's the thing. There was apparently something that was released back in 2020 when we were all scrounging for toilet paper and locking ourselves inside. Apparently, there was some pretty high level stuff going on that didn't have anything to do with the rest of what was going on in the news. For some reason, these individuals were busy trying to figure out what was going on up there with these things that we had seen in 2017. Right?
Yeah. And what is most, I guess, for me anyway, based off everything that's been coming out and how it's all been treated, the department of which that ran Kona Blue, that was Homeland Defense. That's where the funding was coming from.
Well, so they say. I mean, well,
that's who released the information.
Well, just remember that program officially never took place. So we're going to say that program never officially took place, right? Because that's what they said. It was just proposed. It was proposed. All this budget was proposed, $50 million up.
Yeah.
Roadmap. It was just proposed. It wasn't. Okay, so fast forward to this week when Christopher Mellon releases something on his subreddit. Let me find it because you have to see it. And this refers back to a crash retrieval, which had been in almost every ufologist books for as long as Roswell. I mean, this is, it actually predates, I think, people actually investigating Roswell, right? Because Friedman is the one who, brought Roswell up, right?
Yep.
But this goes back a little further. This was the Kingman, Arizona crash. And it also seems to me that this Kingman, Arizona crash could be kind of like what happened with the Flatwoods Monster. You know how we had the one case and the other case, and they kind of molded together and made this one pop culture thing? That could be what happened here as well. But I'm going to find this. I want to share the screen with you guys because it's pretty cool. If you don't know what's going on, this is what's going on. And this is a pretty big deal. let's just say that it's one of those things that, you know how they say, don't hold your breath. Well, I'm kind of holding my breath on this one, because I think that this is going to be a hard one to walk back. So
it's going to be a very difficult one to walk back, because there's been now, it went back in the same direction, I think, as it did when Grush first came out, that now the ball is actually in the government's course to try to prove that they didn't do this.
Right. Right. So I'm trying. We've
got people over here saying bacon card already, getting ready for the Zinners.
You guys are awesome. You guys are, did I tell you you're my favorite people? I think I did, right?
Lisa, awesome. That's what we had for dinner. I just literally, before the show started, crammed an entire pancake down my gullet.
Okay. Whatever gets you through. So this is what was released this week. This little box right here. Can you guys see that box?
Yeah, so this is a text box.
And this is Christopher's Substack right here. This is what this is. So basically, what he's saying is, recently, as a result of a Freedom of Information request, the Department of Defense released some signal exchange I had with Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick. Who? Who? What? Who?
What?
What? What? Former director of the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, call them the Arrow. The release surprised, but did not offend me, as I'm a strong supporter of the government transparency. Okay, so anyway, out of respect for the author's confidentiality, I have been sitting on this message for a number of years. I have also redacted portions of the document to protect the identity of the author. However, I recently obtained the author's written permission to release it. So he has written permission to release this. In other words, this is now declassified. You can read it, which is what we're going to do. It has also now been approved for public release by the Defense Office of Pre-Publication and Security Review. That's DOPSR, by the way. My purpose in releasing the document in the wake of the government's blanket denials regarding a possession of off-world technology is simply to help others understand why I and some others consider these allegations worthy of investigation. Can you guys see that?
Yep. This one reads blank, and I are making huge progress getting into the CR program. That's crash recovery. Crash recovery. This is, mind you, circa 2020. He plans to meet with you at some point. The blank would be slack-jawed if they found out what we know. I'm assuming that's the public.
Possibly.
Or something. Maybe the DOD.
Yeah.
Or the DOD.
Who knows? It's somebody.
It could be something like that. Or even.
Might even be Pentagon. Like,
it's kind of a longer blank. So you got to kind of read into some subtext there.
Yeah.
Anyway. Then there's an entire redacted message from Chris. And then the senior U.S. government official responds, right now we haven't gone that far back. I'm guessing, because it says 45 verses back in the back. So you're looking at Roswell. Mm-hmm. And we all know we can't talk about Roswell.
We can't talk about Roswell, but we can talk about Kingman, Arizona now all of a sudden. So
yes.
Go ahead, Joe. Do it.
Yes. So right now we haven't gone that far back. We're dealing with the recovered UAP that landed in Kingman, Arizona in the 50s. Landed, not crashed. Landed. We're vacuuming up info as blank blank gets read in. We now know the management structure and security control systems and ownership of the crash recovery.
Stop. Say that last part again slowly. We
also know who recovers landed or crashed UAPs and under what authorities.
You said that. He said that.
Yeah. We also know who the security and control systems and ownership. Ownership. Going back a sentence there. Ownership.
Ownership. No is the key word. No. They know where this stuff is at. They know. Yeah. And this was in 2020. Continue on, Joe. We also know.
We also know who recovers landed or crashed UAPs under what authorities. We also know that a still highly classified memo by the Secretary of the USAF in the 1950s is still in effect to maintain the cover on UAPs. We all know that the SES-2, who's the Air Force gatekeeper, name is redacted.
Okay. Time to discuss, children.
So, we apparently know the management structure under how these things are compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. Because the management structure, what they're referring to there, that's not like a structure as in a building. He's talking about a structure of management as in like administrative folk, individuals who are in place, know where things are, what things are, and how they got them. And then the ownership of said items. That's the one that gets me the most, man.
The ownership of said items. We have to go back a couple of weeks now, Joe, because we just heard from the whole, you know, this is all bunk. There is no such thing. These were all drones. These are misidentifications, right? Pretty much came out and said that anybody who had seen anything was a liar without saying that they were a liar. And yet, here it is.
Yeah.
So when he gave that testimony, was he under oath?
That wasn't testimony. That was a back and forth communique between Chris and this unknown.
No, I mean, when he went before Congress and basically said there's been no substantial proof of.
Oh, you mean that? I don't know, Brandon. I don't know that they did a swear in on that. But normally they do, right, Joe?
Well, it depends on what it is. If it's something that's going in that's like legally binding and whatnot. Then yes, they do. But in this case, this is just discourse is what those meetings were.
Yeah.
Any kind of swearing in sort of thing would have occurred back in the skiffs.
Yeah.
Not necessarily there in the public floor because it's not a legal matter. This is he's reviewing data and presenting data. Mm-hmm. And anything that would have been done in the skiff would have been under oath. You would assume that they probably treated it the same way, but it's a good possibility that a lot of these times those types of meetings that are broadcast on TV, they're not under oath, so to speak. Now your witnesses will be brought in, like when they brought in Commander Fravor,
yeah,
and those guys and Grush and everybody, those were all under oath.
Right. Brookie wants to know, what does everyone think of Chris Bledsoe? I'll go first. I think that Chris has had some incredible experiences. I think that Chris is in tune and acceptance with the phenomena, whatever it is. And there is no reason. I've read the book at this point. I've seen, you know, the stuff that he's done on Beyond Skinwalker Ranch, I believe it was. Or was it Skinwalker Ranch? I don't remember. Either one. I can tell you. That was not faked. That's all I can say about that for right now.
The activity that he's obviously able to call in and has been recorded.
Yeah, that's the word, call in. Yeah.
It's hard to be skeptical about what you're seeing like that. So looking at that information, I've got to lean into the fact that he is at least a credible source of what could be going on with some of these phenomena and contactee cases. Now, is everything he's saying like up to snuff and passes the sniff test? I'm still kind of the jury's out for me on that, but he does seem to have the ability to communicate with these things and them show up. And that is so far, that's what has been really proven. The rest of it is, like the stuff that's been proven. That's what I'm on board with. The things that are more of a cool story, they're a cool story. Real similar to like my Bigfoot encounter back in 2001. I didn't collect any data off of it. It's just a really cool story.
You get enough cool stories that mesh and go together. I know there's a lot of these, you know, people, science says that you must have empirical data. I'm sorry, but there's enough anecdotal data to make mountains as big as Everest, and I cannot ignore those types of data sets any longer, especially when we see these things ourselves from time to time.
But we still have to scrutinize those things.
We can scrutinize them all we want. We can call them out for what they are, too.
Yeah.
They're on the table for a reason. That's what I'm saying. Let everybody else make their own decision. What do you say, Brandon?
I don't think there's enough to disprove him. I haven't seen the stuff off Skinwalker Ranch, but I've not seen anything substantial to say that he's a liar. I've seen a lot of people just get really heated about it and try to call him on, but like nothing beyond that.
It's a really good book. I'll tell you that. If you haven't read the book, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, get the book. The dude is friends with John B. Alexander. I am envious. That's all I can say.
He's friends with a bunch of government officials, too. That for me is, we'll see. We'll see where it pans out. That's where I personally sit. But I'm always in that seat where I'm in the show me category. So let's go back in here. We're talking about the management structures of all these things. They know the management structures. That is one of those deals where they know the individuals. And like you had suggested last week, Ron, that kind of hints at a real life Majestic 12, right?
It does. It absolutely does. And, I know a lot of people don't like him, but who was it? Was it Dolan? Yeah, Dolan. He did a really good episode this week on one of his podcasts where he broke down the Kingman incident. And some of the notes from that are just absolutely amazing. For those who don't know, that was a alleged crash that took place. I believe it was in 1953, if I remember correctly. I think 1953. But here's the thing about it. The star witness in this was a man named Arthur G. Stansel. Okay. He was 28 years old at the time. He was a scientist. He worked in the Atomic Energy Commission. He was brought in to study this material that they recovered following this crash. Okay. But it's kind of like in that day, he'd be like the Grush of that day, so to speak. You know what I mean? The only difference is this dude, he actually says that he saw with his eyes these things. He saw, proof of aliens, call them what they were, because that's what they said in the report. It was aliens, four, which were taken from this craft. And also, it wasn't a crash, guys. It was not a crash. It was a controlled landing, or more specifically, they think they brought it down because what had happened at that time, apparently, was a little thing called the Cold War was starting up, right?
Yeah.
So we had just learned that, according to this research, that the Russians in the day had just started, this program where they were flying the bombers over close to the U.S. territory. It's the same thing they do today. They've done it since the 50s. They don't not do this. If they don't do this, there's something wrong. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And the only difference is back then we didn't have the radar to watch them. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Okay. So we were developing this radar to actually track these guys and making sure that they are just staying off the border. You know, we don't want to accidentally trigger, nuclear holocaust or anything. But so here's what they did. They set up these points. This is allegedly what they did. They set up these points in Arizona. Three radars made an array. And this array, according to them, is what this thing accidentally flew into. And it just came down to earth at I think it was like a 20 or so degree angle. And boom, there it was wedged into the ground. They went in and recovered this thing. The door was literally open on it. There were four beings. To me, though, honestly, I don't know that we brought anything down. by accident or not. But now we have to look back at what Gresh said. Remember what he said? Well, we've taken them down. He said that. Those were his words. So it's kind of like we're talking about the same thing. And remember, this was 2020. And I told you in the multiple presentations that we've done at this point, I've said UFO history is what? It's nonlinear.
Right.
It's always nonlinear, guys. We're not going to get a play by play. We have to get these little pieces and put them all back together. And pretty soon you got this conspiracy board and it makes you look like you're nuts, but this is not nuts. This is real. So the theory of this is that, yes, they brought this thing down. And it also related to a project. There was a, it was the Atomic Energy Commission did in 1954. It was an agreement that they signed. It was, I think it was an act. And I can't remember. It might have been the 1954 Atomic Energy Agreement Act. I don't remember what it was called exactly, but I do know that there was wording in this. And the wording in this basically says, and this is the quote of what it says, it has called for transclassified foreign nuclear information. And this is something that the Schumer legislation, you remember the Schumer legislation, right?
We yeah.
just did this. It called for bringing back up. So a lot of these researchers believe that that specific line in the Atomic Energy Commission's agreement, that act that they signed in 1954, when it says transclassified foreign nuclear information may actually not be nuclear at all. That may be how they hid that. And then, you know, since 1954, they figured out, well, we got to get rid of this stuff. We need to move it over into private hands. And I think that that's the world we live in today.
Wasn't there also an agreement that Reagan made with Gorbachev when he came over for a visit that UFOs ever attacked them, they would help?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Yes. That was part of
the walk in the garden.
That was, that's exactly what that was. That was the walk in the garden. And that was during the strategic talks that they had. I think it was Salt 1 or Salt 2. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But Salt 2, I think. But they were actually discussing that, Brandon. And the answer was, of course we would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they really took this seriously. But my thing is, in 2020, it kind of seemed like we were on the track to get this stuff released. And then
something derailed it.
Exactly.
So Donna Ho says that her husband and his older brother both lived in Kingman at the time, and they both saw it. According to them, it was seen by them and many others.
Yeah. Lots of people saw it, apparently. And it's a really cool craft. If you've seen any representations of it, it's your typical saucer, except for it seems to have like these vent kind of things around it, like a Saturn shape. It's one of the Saturn shaped saucers. Very cool. Oh, and by the way, the other thing that was I found interesting about this that now makes sense that didn't then, they said that the scientist who went in to actually try to open this thing up, which they did, they opened it up. They complained of uneasiness and dizziness and I believe nausea, which is exactly what we heard last year when, who was it? I can't remember who it was who said that, they walked in, it was disorienting. That it was bigger on the inside. It had the TARDIS effect or whatever. And it just messed with them. Yeah. We've heard this before.
And it was also, it resonated as well with Rendlesham.
Yeah.
And the way that they felt as they approached this craft that was out there that was landed.
Yeah.
Adam earlier said that it was a donation. And
what is it? Oh, the donation.
Kingman was a donation. Mm-hmm. I think that Kingman was very much a donation. If you read how it went down.
Yeah.
It didn't hit like Roswell and blow into a million pieces.
Nope.
Christopher, what's going on? Good to have you with us. Senior Spookfest says, yeah, you have bodies. They may not be at Area 51, but we do have some at bases. And I am still not unconvinced that we have more than just bodies, that we have worker bees, so to speak, that may be still alive. But there's a lot of witnesses from different time periods who claim this.
and they've had little to no association with one another. And then you go and you add in what David Grush has said in the past about non-human biologics. And it just seems like we've got something that we're like buddy buddy with. You can go and shake hands or mind meld with.
Yeah. No, really, for real. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right. And who was it that said it was a donation? Was it Adam said donation? So what you're trying to say there basically is that these are a craft that were given to us for whatever reason. And we've talked about that. We speculated about that for a while. And it's like, because someone was like, oh, you know, Star Trek, the Prime Directive and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, the best way to get around Star Trek, you know, the Prime Directive in Star Trek is, oops, we crashed. And we didn't recover it.
Lisa brings up a really good point here. And we had talked about this on the show back then.
We did talk about this.
About how the news was being released, especially during 2020. So many of these articles and so yep. many of these declassifications were happening and being buried under the media coverage of the pandemic.
That's right. Absolutely, Lisa. Yeah.
And it was there were even people we made the comment like, you know, we've got the government that literally just said, yeah, OK, UFOs and aliens. Yep, those are a thing. But make sure that you're doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And everybody just was like, yeah. whatever.
Make sure you're using Lysol.
Yeah. Everybody just was whatever with it. And it was so bizarre because we were sitting back watching this happen. And we were like, this is happening in real time. And everybody's just going about it.
No, I don't want to sound like Alex Jones or anything, but do you think maybe we were put under quarantine? I'm not going to say the word.
No.
Because something was going on in the skies.
No.
Well, I guess there's something going on. No. There's something going on in the skies.
No.
No, I don't think so. You know, we had actually said on the show in the past that there was a possibility that there could be some kind of that it could have been a preventative. We were covering all these different hypotheses, and it was, you know, we were really digging down into the bottom of the barrel for some of it, but because we got deep into speculation land. But
it's pretty wild
that whole 2 years right there where they were dropping all that news from 2020 and 2021, so much UFO news and so many disclosures occurred with things becoming declassified and CIA dropping stuff, Homeland Security dropping stuff, and FBI coming out and releasing information. Yeah. There were so many government releases during that time that got absolutely no coverage at all.
Well, there was also warnings, and Lou was talking about that, and he said that, you know, there was two sides involved in the government. One side wanted it released, and the other side said that, no, this is demonic or something, and they didn't think you should touch it. Remember that? Yeah. And everyone laughed at him at the time, and now look where we're at. So, and we said that you can see the two sides very clearly now, because it's a push and shove contest.
Lisa says we were locked up because demons were rampaging in the street.
That's exactly what it was, Lisa. That is exactly
demons
what
running off through me.
You can't have that.
We got demons in the streets.
Oh man,
they're running around everywhere. Hide your husbands, hide your wives. We got demons everywhere.
But
it's probably a song.
Right. Yeah, and
that'd be a great Black Sabbath title, Demons in the Street.
Anyway.
Now when we're looking at this stuff and what specifically what Chris Mellon was saying, I want to go back to that again.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
When Chris mentioned here, I'm gonna bring it up real quick. You were in a screen. Sorry. You were sharing
screen. Oh yeah, bring up that chat. Let me find it again.
Actually, I take it back. That probably would have been a better Ronnie James Dio song.
Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of tricky to find.
It sounds like a really bad Striper song, too.
Is it? Okay, I found it.
If it was Motley Crue, it would be Demon Heat.
Bring this back up. Okay.
Jen's in the house. What's going on? Hey, Zombie apocalypse, and we missed it. Well, I worked through it, but the rest of y'all don't know.
Okay, here we go.
All right. So looking at this clip here with the text message bubble, it says in the last sentence of the large paragraph sent by the senior government official, we also know that still highly classified memo by the Secretary of the U.S. Air Force in the 1950s is still in effect to maintain the covers on UAPs. Ron, you know exactly what memo that is. We discussed this in the UFO histories. And the fact that this is still standing now, almost 80 years later, a memo from a brand new branch of the military still standing on the cover of UAPs. Can you wrap your mind around that, really?
No.
That it's still, because so many of these memos, okay, when a memo is released, there's normally not, there's sunset clauses built into them, like any kind of things like the, well, for JFK, there was a sunset clause. Oh, yeah. In that, and the sunset got moved back multiple times because people voted on it. This was apparently something that just got left alone. It wasn't touched. There was no sunset built into it. There was no ending. It was just, here it is. It's a weather balloon.
Yeah. Simply.
And we're going to stick with that.
Well, it's always balloons. That's just how it
right? is. And then the fact that we know who the Air Force gatekeeper is, and then the name is put there. They mentioned that it's redacted. It's so redacted. I don't know who it is, but they knew the gatekeeper and mentioned them.
Yeah.
This gatekeeper is who is keeping the information away from the rest of us.
Yeah.
Because that means there's one person.
We also know, it says, no, it doesn't say new and it doesn't say who it was. It says we also know the who's the. Present, current, right then in 2020, yeah. The Air Force gatekeeper. So, Majestic, anyone?
I'm kind of ignorant with those abbreviations they use, but do you know what an SES-2 is?
It is the Secretary of. Let me get that for you. I don't want to say it wrong. Senior executive service is what that means. So it means it's a senior official.
Yeah.
And they're enlisted. This is not a civilian side thing, kind of how the government will have people in place. This is a senior official, somebody who's been in for a long time. Mm-hmm. Normally they're going to have a star on their shoulder. If that and they're going to be generally the people with SES-1, SES-2 setups, they're guys who've got, you know, stars on their shoulders and they're joint chiefs of staff guys and all that. So they're really high up on the pecking order. This guy just happens to be in the Air Force.
So is it public info who might have been at that rank at that time?
What was that? You broke. I couldn't hear that last part.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Is it public information who was at the rank at that time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could find that out. That redacted name isn't going to be difficult to find if you
can find that out. And I'm going to go ahead and share this link to everybody here. That way you guys can go do your own research on that. And we are now moving within about a few minutes from about 15 minutes from the close of the audio portion. So everybody else stay tuned. We do not leave when we cut for this, which we will be doing here in 15 minutes. So just stay seated, remain seated. The show is not over. Joe, so as I said, are we in an era of this soft disclosure? Because we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The same thing is happening in the Bigfoot world. We've got the same kind of with the eDNA stuff. We've got, you know, the project that's taking place. Is this not kind of just convenient? That's all I'm asking you at this
point. it's all happening around the same times, which is really strange. We've also got some of the one of the largest Bigfoot research organizations on the planet that is coming out, and they're starting to talk about some of the weird stuff. They've even dropped names like DARPA into the mix. And here we are right now getting some really strange information that's finally being pushed out there, that's been redacted and held back for ages, literally 30 years. and they're being said, yeah, this stuff is happening. It's parallel to the Bigfoot phenomena. We've also got eDNA that's been going through different avenues and different channels. We've got stuff that's gone through one of the universities in California and one of their DNA panels, and it revealed that there were other human primates in the area with the Expedition Bigfoot guys. Whether you like them or not, they got some
good night, Danny.
Real data.
We'll see you next time.
And see you later, Danny. And then you've got Daniel Barnett over in the UK, who has gotten non-human primate and old world great apes and old world monkeys in the middle of the UK in a small pocket of forest. These things are starting to kind of line up in a weird, strange way. You've got Darby Orcott's DNA stuff that I'm really looking forward to hearing about here this coming weekend, because he's going to be at OBC. So I'm planning on going and talking to him for a little bit, and seeing what all they've kind of maybe come up with, because it is at the make or break point. Like I said a few weeks back, that it's either going to be it is or it isn't.
Right.
Like, it is a flesh and blood creature walking around, or it is not, because people are experiencing something.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. I don't think we can deny that anymore. We've seen enough evidence ourselves at this point to know that there's, you know, something going on.
Yeah.
Is that? Hang on. I've got a technical difficulty.
Go for it.
I found a list.
Oh, it's working. Go ahead.
Anita says, I need to find eDNA on my site. Go digging. Anytime you find a footprint, start there.
Hmm.
So we've got, we do have all these things that are kind of lining up. They seem, whether or not they're related, that is, it's
to be determined.
It's still to come up. We're gonna wait for that and see. They might be. I mean, we've got enough subject B data to infer that there is some kind of a correlation, at least half of the time.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what comes out, because these studies are going to be the make or break. And,
absolutely.
I mentioned last night, the NEST site out there in the Olympics, it's under NDA stuff right now as far as their results. They haven't published a single ounce of their results, and it's all going to go up in Legend Meets Science 2, by what I understand.
Yeah, you don't do NDAs when you have nothing. That's
right. To say that. If it's a nothing burger,
you don't need to do that. That's why I find it ludicrous that we have these top secret memos about weather balloons and conventional drones and, you know, these adversarial technologies. Come on, guys. That's not, you know, as well as we do. We are not that stupid. So, quick plug for the show next week. Next week will be the next installment of Wild and Weird Radio Live in focus, because you all asked for it. Here it is. This is the technically the third one. This will be the third one. You guys keep sending in your photos and your videos, and you want us to do the photo analysis thing live, and that's what we do. We pull them up on here, and we go back through them, and everybody gets to say, that's a this or that, or it's a nothing. It doesn't mean anyone knows what it is. It's just that we all get a big, wider, idea of what these things can be. So everybody joins the collective that one night and learns how, you know, their voice can matter. Basically, that's what it comes down to. So yeah, if you want to be a part of that, just send in your paranormal photo, UFO photo, whatever you got, cryptids, over to wildandweirdwv@gmail.com, and it will join the big list that's growing over there already of stuff. We'll even do audio samples. So if you want to send an audio sample in, we'll do that. But we'll do it live. And this is all your material. You have to make sure that you are the owner of it. We are not responsible for any fiascos or mess ups. If you share someone's stuff that you did not have the permission to do so, that is on you entirely. And by posting that, you make sure that you accept those terms, please. the rest of us, we are just going to look at your stuff and try to figure out what we're looking at. That's our job.
And guys, if you are listening over in Audio Land, this is definitely one that you're going to want to jump on YouTube for, because you will be missing so much just in audio, because we're going to be running pictures, video clips, audio, possible audio clips. It's going to be a show that you want to tune in for the episode, or at least go back and catch the first hour.
Oh, it is absolutely
what we're talking about.
Yeah, it is absolutely one of our most popular little things that we do, and people
just love favorites.
Yeah, they love it. And
I love being surprised.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to see. It's always something very
strange. We've had some really good stuff, too. Like stuff we can't find an explanation for.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not one of those debunker shows. It's not, you know, if we can debunk it, sure, we'll all do it. But that's not what it typically turns out to be. We've had some very good mysteries, and they go away as mysteries, too. They're very good. So. So it's a lot of fun. So join us next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, and promptly. And we will start the show by doing just that. Joe, we are now 9 minutes away on the audio section.
I'll round us out then. All right, guys. Thanks for listening over there in Audio Land. You guys are night shift guys. We're out there working the warehouses, driving on the roads. All you guys who are out there, stay safe. We appreciate each and every one of you guys. Remember to jump over to Wild and Weird WV over on YouTube. You're going to be able to catch the entire video segment of this show. You don't want to miss out. We'd love to have you over here engaged in the conversation along with us as well. We will be appearing for you guys. It will be next Saturday at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference. So come out and check us out May 4th. We're going to be up on the third floor. Come hang out, say hi, tell us that you listen to Wild and Weird Radio. You never know what might happen. Now, if you guys are going to be at OBC and you do want to hang out with us, please let us know. Our table section is more than big enough to have you come party with us and enjoy some time, share the stories. And you never know, if you stick around too long, we might just push you to work collecting stories from folks as they come up and tell them.
It could happen. You're also you can share your accounts at the table just like everyone else does, and there'll be a lot more information on that there. But yeah, if you've got stories, come on over and let's talk.
So guys, remember, we're here at Wild and Weird WV over on YouTube. You can find us over on YouTube Music and everywhere else you find your podcast. We're all over the place. Also check in here occasionally for different investigation videos that'll be going up and additional content that will be popping up from time to time. So until next week. Oh, wait, before I do that, remember, guys, there's a sale going on at TeePublic, and it should still be going by the time this bit of audio runs out. Normally it goes until the end of the weekend on a Sunday. So go and grab some Wild and Weird t-shirts and wear them with pride around the workplace, around your family. And, you won't regret it. They're really cool.
You can grab the TNT Area Paranormal Workshop special edition, which will be disappearing after the event date. So you have a limited window to get that one. And I've still yet to see anyone with the tie-dye hot pink version. I want to see that. So, hopefully somebody orders that.
All right, guys. That's going to do us for this episode of Wild and Weird Radio. Hope you've had a good time. Hope you've enjoyed what your ears have consumed. So remember, if you're out walking around the woods and you have a strange bird calling to you from God knows where, don't follow it, because it's probably following you. Stay wild and weird.